Hi, I'm Tom Peterson from Cheap Trick, and you're listening to the Rock Solid Podcast.
To be. This is small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis. Joining me in the Zoom room to promote the release of Cheap Trick's 21st studio album, called All Washed Up. Please welcome the inventor of the 12-string bass and the coolest guy to ever play it, Mr. Tom Peterson. How's it going, Tom?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm good. So you're in Reno, Nevada right now?
Yes.
You got a show tonight?
Correct.
What's the show prep after 50 years of touring? What do you do to get ready for tonight?
Nothing.
Okay. That's it.
That's all right.
Okay.
Well, I got to get dressed.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
That's about it.
All Washed Up is out today, November 14th, on all formats, including vinyl, colored vinyl, CD, streaming. And this is a great album, Tom. I've been listening to it for about 3 weeks now.
Wow.
I got it early because of this interview. And it's best of the most recent ones you guys have done with Dax. I love this one. Let me talk about the newest single, Riff That Won't Quit. Now, this one dates back to around 97, I believe, with the 97 Cheap Trick sessions. Is that correct?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it.
Okay, fantastic.
What do you mean? How do you know that even? I didn't see you there.
I heard, you know, you get on these message boards and people have demos and they lay them down. And I feel like I've heard the riff that won't quit way back when.
Maybe you did. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe
either.
I did too.
Maybe. Okay. Here's my first question, Tom.
It is? All right.
This is another question.
Wait, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Are you number 431?
I am number 431.
How about that?
How did you know that?
You're one of the earliest fan club members.
Yes, I am.
That was you.
Pretty
you have that information?
I have all sorts of information.
All right. You have all the information except about the riff that won't quit, but that's fine.
Well, that's, I don't know where that came from. Yeah, probably, you know, a lot of that stuff. We've had songs that we've been working on. Why should we not, you know, just discount them because we did them years ago? I don't know. You know, we keep going back. What have we thrown out? You know, what have we not done that we should have done? That's a lot of stuff.
That's true. Now, 45 years ago, you guys released an album called All Shook Up. I assume All Washed Up is a nod to that album title.
I don't think so, no.
No. And who came up with All Washed Up?
Robin.
Right. It's very funny. I love the album cover. It's super cool. And
yeah, good. Me too. I thought so too. When I first heard his idea, I go, yeah, that sounds great. Then I saw his friend had done an album cover. I thought, okay, that's great. Let's go for it. So.
And the first line of the song, All Washed Up, lets us know that you guys are not all washed up. You're all washed up and ready to go.
That right. Okay, good. That's what you think.
That's okay. Well, that's all you have to do for tonight's show is shower. I know that.
No, I don't even have to do that.
All right, cool. You look good. You look like you're ready.
I'm ready. Yes, I'm ready to go out and get something to eat. I've got to walk around Reno now to find something that's open.
Let me ask you this.
I walked around here yesterday when I got here for at least an hour, walked nonstop. I couldn't find anything that was open.
Wow.
How about that?
I
went hungry.
So Reno is the city that sleeps.
Apparently in the afternoon it sleeps. Yes. I don't know. I didn't go out there at night, but yeah, it's the biggest little city in the world.
Now here's a question, Tom. Ever since 1979, I've been waiting for Tom Peterson to sing another song on a Cheap Trick studio album. Is that something that in the conversation, does that ever come up when you guys record? Or maybe you don't want to sing another song, but
no,
I
don't feel like it.
You're fine with I Know What I Want. You're good.
Well, yeah, I'm surprised I even got that. So
it's, and you didn't write that song. So they definitely said, hey, Tom, we want you to sing this song.
And it was, yeah, it was Rick that, yeah, he goes, hey, I've got this song idea. I think you'd be good singing it. And that was it.
Is it okay with you if we let Tom sing a song here?
I would love it.
I guess it wasn't good enough to continue to keep doing another one. So I'll wait another 45 years.
The first single off All Washed Up is called 12 Gates.
The song is a better than others.
What does 12 gates mean?
That was an idea I had, that track, and that was just really a placeholder. Where I got the idea was, it's a Graham Bond organization song that Ginger Baker had done, and then Graham Bond. It's the 12 Gates to the City. And I thought, oh, that's a cool title. So I just used that as a placeholder, and Robin liked it, and we, you know, that just stayed being the title. So it didn't really have any meaning. I'd have to look it up. What is 12 gates? So it means all sorts of things, but it was just a placeholder that sounded good. Thank you, Ginger Baker. You don't hear many people thanking Ginger Baker, but I loved his playing.
Well, he was an amazing drummer for sure. I love the song, and good title. It's very cool. So, when was the last time you listened to the Fuse album?
What year was that released? 70?
70, 69, 70?
I think so, yeah, right. Probably either 69 or 70.
When you guys write songs currently, back in the day, the early days, Rick wrote most of the songs, and then you and Robin would sometimes co-write. Now, is it all done by committee? Do you each bring a germ of something in, and then the other two, you guys all work on it together? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, well, we'll bring it in, and if we all agreed, or if somebody goes, hey, that's a great thing, I want to work on that. Okay, fine. We just do it. See if it works. If not, we do something else. But we just throw our ideas together and stuff like Riff That Won't Quit. That was one that we had tried. I don't know what the demo was like. I don't remember the song. I wish I had. It would have been a lot easier. You mean I know this one already? No, I didn't. So.
Well, there's a lot of songs. There's a lot of songs, Tom.
Yeah, there's a lot of songs, and it's hard to remember. What's hard to remember are the titles, because they start out with working titles, you know, placeholders.
Right.
And that's usually how we remember the song. It has nothing to do with the title, you know, what the song ended up as.
Yeah.
So it's confusing. It's like we did a Christmas album, and it was so confusing because every song had sort of the same title.
Right.
I think it was Christmas Every Day. Is it Christmas Here or Not? You know, whatever. It was like, is that the Slade one? Is that the Kinks one? You know, it was really confused. We never got it straight with what song was what.
Friday, April 8th, 2016 in Brooklyn, New York, Cheap Trick was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I was there. It was a great night.
I'm trying to sleep you wide awake and wouldn't be alone. And I'm getting paid to take vacations on a visa.
What do you remember most about that night, or was it just a blur?
Well, it's a blur like most other nights. You know, nobody exactly knows what's going on. I got lost downstairs after the show. We wasn't sure what to, you know, it was for some reason not that well organized. So, but it didn't make any difference. We got lost. It was Spinal Tap, you know. Oh, you're done. And then, oh, where were we supposed to go? And then I was down there, and Sheryl Crow and who else was there? We were like, how do we get out of here? That we got lost downstairs. Hey, you're supposed to be doing a photo session. What? You know, so
I can tell you who else was down there, Tom, because I was down there and I got to say hi to you in person. And you actually told me, you go, here's, you said, I don't even know where I'm at right now. I'm lost.
Yes. And then I finally get to where the car, like, oh, we have to wait for the car. It was very unorganized, but by that point we were done. So who cares? But they go, hey, where were you for the group photo session? I go, what photo session? Oh, you know, when you're supposed to be at the car, but we couldn't find the friggin' car. We couldn't find our way out of the basement.
With all the touring you guys do, when do you decide when it's time to make a new record?
I don't know how we, you know, it's just a combination of things, you know. I don't know. It all just right. Falls into place somehow.
And you must be recording all over the place. Like, you can't, you don't hunker down like in the old days and just, and record. I wouldn't think so. I would assume you guys are doing it a little bit everywhere.
No, we usually will hunker down somewhere. Like this last record, most of it was recorded in Nashville, Tennessee. And some of the vocals were done in Los Angeles.
All right.
Or, you know, when we're touring, we're not really going and recording. Did in the old days, we'd have shows during recording sessions, you know, that wow. Kind of, but no, we'll go. It's better to be in one spot. And
I would think so.
Get
yeah.
It over with. Yeah. Cause we do the tracks live, you know, the basic tracks. So we know what we're doing. It sounds, it's got some life to it. And then we just go from there.
How many songs from All Washed Up do you think will make it into the set list on some of the upcoming shows?
I don't know.
I feel like
the last thing people want to hear is new material. You always hear that. So there you go. You know, you can't win. We do records because we love making records, and that's what you'll last for eternity.
Yeah. It bums me out when the audience doesn't want to hear new material. Cause I definitely do.
Well, yes, and you probably definitely do not want to hear any of the hits either. So there you go. You go, boy, can't you just throw those out? do all, you know, deep cuts? Yeah, we could.
Well, see, I know that you have to play the hits because I know there's someone in that audience that's never seen you before. And if you don't play those hits, then they're going to be disappointed. So it's a fine line.
Back to- and see us again. Big deal, right? They have never seen us before. Well, they, you know, that's just... Yeah, you do hits. It depends on who you're playing for, too.
Right.
You know, if it's a private party or something, or if it's you're opening for some other act, and you have 45 minutes, okay, what are you going to do? A bunch of deep cuts? They go, what the hell's this? Who are these guys? You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys do a well-rounded set list. You guys change out three. It seems like you change out about three or four songs every night, a little bit different.
Easily, yes.
Yeah, easily. And I like that you play songs from the period of Cheap Trick when you weren't a member.
Yeah.
Which one of those do you like playing the best? Do you have a favorite from that period of time when you weren't there?
Yeah, my favorite was If You Want My Love.
Good tune.
I thought that was a great song. Still is.
Still is, for sure. Many years back, you guys celebrated your 25th anniversary as a band with an album and a DVD called Silver.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think you
guys... back that far. That's right.
I know.
25 years. That's nothing.
I don't need no money, honey, for what's in my bank. I got all the riches, baby, that one man can pay. So take off your coat, your clothes, and don't forget your foolish pride. I'm not afraid of falling down or staying up all night. Hey, I'm gonna see you.
Is there any talk about celebrating the gold anniversary?
This is the first I've heard about it. No.
Okay. All right. Well,
what I'll about get working. Platinum?
Yeah, platinum. I'll get working on it. We'll do something.
Songs from the grave. We've been together 100 years.
Okay. Let me ask you something. You guys got to work with George Martin. That had to be a high watermark for you guys. Being huge Beatle fans. What can you tell me? What was it like working with Sir George Martin?
It was, as you might expect, it was great. It's George Martin and really Jeff Emmerich is the engineer. They're both great, but Jeff's the guy. He, you know, gets the sounds, and they just were wonderful to work for, you know. And they, of course, we tried to keep the Beatle questions to a minimum, which is not that easy to do. But yeah, it comes up. What did they use there? Oh, that wasn't a kazoo. That was a, I don't know. You know, what was it? Oh, we put some rubber bands together. But anyway, one time I asked Jeff Emmerich, I said, don't you get tired of people, you know, asking you pretty much only about Beatles stuff? And he goes, you know, no, it doesn't bother me at all because it means so much to people. And yeah, he's right. But it was great working with them. They were, you know, yeah, that was a nice surprise that we talked them into working with us.
One of the songs that I love that didn't make it onto the album, but was in the Roadie soundtrack, Everything Works If You Let It. Any talk ever that you might play that live? Because I know that's a fan favorite for sure.
No.
Too difficult to play it live?
No, nothing is. We did it at some point, so no, we must have been able to. No, it's not too difficult. It's difficult to just starting, if you've, well, now 21 studio albums, so that's a lot of songs that you might have to know. Well, it's a lot of songs you don't need to know, so you just forget about it. Like, oh, yeah, that's right. Why don't we do that? Well, I don't know. Why don't we do, there's a bunch of other ones we should do maybe too. But again, it's a deep cut. It's just the way it goes. Luck of the draw.
Let's talk about All Washed Up a little bit more. The best thing, this one is a classic sounding Cheap Trick ballad. And I loved it. It kind of harkened back for me to something that might fit perfectly on the Woke Up With a Monster album. I really love this song.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, that's a great song. That's true. I love that too. So good choice.
1988, when you come back to the band, I don't really know that I know it. I don't know that anyone knows exactly how that happened. How did you come back? Was the door always open for you to come back in?
I don't know, but we just kind of met up and said, well, maybe we'll do a side project together.
Okay.
So I went to Chicago or whatever happened, and we sat down and got into rehearsal, and then they were like, you know, why don't we, you know, this really is the way we should sound. Why don't we just get back together? Like, fine with me. Good.
Fantastic.
Nothing to.
I remember seeing the Flame video when it world premiered on MTV. And without knowing you were back in the band, I just had a feeling that I'm like, is Tom back? Could Tom possibly be back? And then you and Robin come walking right into frame. And I was like, this is going to be a great summer. Fantastic.
That song worked out for us. Yeah, that was, I didn't have anything to do with it. I just happened to come back at that time.
Sure, sure.
More credit for it than I actually deserve. But what the hell, you know?
Just seeing you up on stage with the guys back then, just, you know, I know it's weird to have nostalgia. You were only gone 8 years. You weren't gone 25 years. But still, it for the fans, it was just a kick. That you guys are back.
No, it was a kick for me, and maybe I can't speak for the other guys, but because when I came back, it was not announced, and they had all these, you know, dates, you know, shows booked.
Yeah.
So I just stepped in and just started doing those, but there was no announcement or no anything, so people would just be in shock at the shows, like, what the hell, you know? And it was really a great thing. It was like a class reunion every night. Kind of is that way anyway, but that was, it was really a great time because people were so happy, and it just was a great thing. So that was fun. You just show up like, oh my God, what the hell? You know, I thought he was dead. No, not yet.
Yeah. See, this is the fun we used to have before the internet ruined everything for us.
Is that right? Well,
yeah, we would just show up and there you are. Fantastic.
That was, well, even with the internet, we probably would have done that anyway. But of course, after one day, you would have known. So, yeah. So, but that at that time too, those were the real hardcore fans. It wasn't like we were selling out stadiums or anything like that. We never have done that. We played with other people that can sell them out, but so we've never been at that level really. So it always feels like we're still that bar band that's trying to make it.
Yeah, but when you did come back and you have a number one single and, you know, I believe Lap of Luxury is your second best-selling album, I believe. I could be wrong.
That's probably close. Yeah.
Track 10 on All Washed Up is A Long Way to Worcester. Is this autobiographical or are you guys just painting a picture for us?
We're just painting a picture of a nobody knows of a city that nobody can really pronounce the name of the city or spell it.
This is true. This is true. That song has a great little solo by Rick, which I love.
Yeah, that's cool, right?
It's cool.
We did that. The original idea came from Robin and I and Jerry Dale McFadden and Robert Reynolds from the Mavericks. We were putting songs together at my apartment in Nashville, and that was one of them back then. They also co-wrote It All Comes Back to You. Or the Carnival Game. I can't remember. There's at least one other song on one of those earlier, whenever that would have been. 90s.
Well, 97. Those are both on the self-titled album from 97.
Okay. Are those both co-written by those two guys? I can't remember. But
well, I don't have. One of them is, but I don't have that in front of me.
Carnival Game for sure is.
It was a masquerade at Mardi Gras. Was the only trip that I recall. Every time I turned around at all, there was you. Some days are easier said than done. I was expecting something's wrong. I'd rather live alone than drag this on.
Take
Anyway, they've been friends. I haven't seen Robert for many years. He's been out of the Mavericks, but they're great guys, and we, you know, hung out a lot. They're from, you know, they're from Miami, but they were based in Nashville. But anyway, but that song, where that started. So that was done a long time ago.
Is your do you live in Nashville currently? Is that still your home base?
Yes.
Nice. And so everyone's all over the place, I guess.
Yes, that's right.
But you're all together almost every night.
We're together a lot as it is, so it's enough.
When you're on tour with another band like Heart, do you hang out with Heart, or do you just see each other backstage?
I mean, hang out with them when? Like on our days off?
I don't know. Yes.
Not really. No, it just if we happen to be in the same hotel or something or whatever, but no, we don't, you know, not really. We'd like to hang out with them. They just won't allow it. No, they're great. They're great. We've been working with them for many years. Oh. We've known them since we started, and it was right after they started. So.
Yeah. I believe I've seen Cheap Trick and Heart together so many times, and it just feels like you guys are just happy on the road together when you're with Heart.
Yeah, they've got a great crew, the great, you know, band members. Yeah, they've always been really, really nice. You know, but hanging out, that's just a matter of chance. You're like, oh, they're having this party this night. You know, we're usually not in the same places. We've got different hours and everything else. So one of the groups we really do hang out with a lot would be ZZ Top. We'd just go out with them everywhere. But there's a lot of groups we've worked with that really are fun to work with, but to hang out, we're all in different situations. So
what do you like doing better? Do you like playing a Cheap Trick solo show, or do you like when you're on a package tour? What's better overall as far as travel and things like that?
Well, a package thing is a little more organized, and it's, you know, you've got, it's just completely different. Usually if it's a package thing, then it's some venue that you're not that crazy about. You know, I'm not that wild about playing outdoors or, you know, gymnasiums and stuff or arenas. The best sounding gigs are like theaters and big clubs or whatever. Like we've really got the power in those places. It's really great. But the people with other, we're an opening act, say, you're one of the, you know, we're not the headliner in those kind of shows.
Right.
It's easier because you don't have to play as long for starters.
Right.
You're on early and you can leave and get to where you're going. That's nice.
All right. When other veteran bands release a new album, sometimes I think that it might be the last album, but with Cheap Trick, I never feel like that. I feel like you guys are just going to, this is All Washed Up is certainly not going to be the last Cheap Trick album I ever hear.
No. And the way we look at it too, we're always thinking about what's the next one. What songs have we got? What ideas do you have? Let's look. I'm on a shortage for ideas. What did we throw out from before? Oh, wait a minute. Why didn't we do this? We're always looking ahead to the next one. I'm looking forward to the next one too. By the time you finish an album like this new one, you've heard everything so much, and it's, you know, what's next?
Always looking forward.
That's right.
That's what keeps
looking forward to. It's great. We're in a good situation where we have a vehicle for the ideas we come up with. It's nice.
That'll keep you young, looking to the future.
Maybe will it? Oh, good. Thank God.
I want to throw this out there for people. If you've never met Cheap Trick in person, I've had the pleasure of meeting you guys many, many, many times as a fan. And you guys are always just the best, just wonderful.
Really?
And and I'm sure there's many times where you don't want to be, but you are, you always have been.
Well, that's nice to hear. Yeah. It's amazing because so many people aren't very nice, and I don't know where that gets them, but, you know, there's a lot of people in every occupation that are complete assholes. So there you go. It's just luck of the draw.
Tom, tell me about the 12-string bass. I don't play an instrument, and many people don't. Did you invent this thing?
Well, it was my idea. Yeah, there wasn't anything like that. What there was Hagstrom guitars. It was it's a Swedish company, I think, made these little 8 strings.
Okay.
And they were just really poor quality. Just, you know, they weren't a good bass. They didn't sound, you know, they didn't sound that good, but the idea I thought was cool. And these friends of ours had a guitar shop outside of Chicago, Paul Hamer and Joel Danzig, and they were telling us, hey, we're going to start making, you know, guitars like they used to make, you know, start a boutique guitar company. Like, wow, really cool. Well, I got this idea for a bass, and I told them, and they were like, well, you know, okay, we'll give it a shot. So they said, look, we'll make you a 10 string. So you can, when you realize the 12 string thing doesn't work, you can take a couple of the strings off, then you'll have a good 8 string. It's like, well, okay, but that's not really. So they brought the first bass out, which was a 10 string, which it had 2 E strings, 3 A's, 3 D's, and 2 G's. Okay. I wanted it all to have 3 strings. But anyway, that's what I got. So they showed up we were opening for Kiss at that time, brought that bass, and I loved it. They heard it and they go, oh my God, it sounds fucking great. I think you're right about the 12 string thing. So then the next one was a 12 string version, which I got for about our third record, Heaven Tonight. It had a quad thing and all this stuff that I didn't need. But anyway, so the first one really was a 10 string. And they were like, well, when you realize it doesn't work, they were apprehensive that the neck wouldn't hold, and I don't know, it hadn't been done really like that, but they heard us and I go, wow, that's really cool. So then I just kept going. I've used a 12 string bass live exclusively since then.
And so when did they come back and apologize to you and admit that they were wrong?
They would never do that.
So,
well, by making the 12 string, this is like, oh yeah. You know, Joel said, you know, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, that's great. We can go for it. I wanted a long scale one, which they eventually did make. They didn't want to do that. They go, no, we're too scared that the neck won't hold and whatever. You know, I'm not a luthier, so I don't know. I didn't make the guitar, but
right.
It was my idea to do that, and it was a variation of a theme, really. So,
and so people wouldn't know when you're holding down one string, you're actually holding down 3 strings.
That's correct.
So, how strong do your hands have to be in order to play that instrument?
You have to have superhuman strength.
That's what I thought. That's the correct answer.
They're not lightweight either, so. He has a strong back.
And you just wanted to...
I've been doing it for so long. It's like I'm so used to it. It's just, you know...
It's just what you do.
Pick. Yeah. If you first pick one up, I guess. It suits my style anyway. So it's the kind of thing where it's kind of how I play. It's the 12 string really would be the exact same rig I use for a 4 string. Exactly.
Okay.
That's how I even check test amps. Wow. If I'm going to try something, I want to see how this guitar amp sounds. Use it, get out a Precision or a Thunderbird or something. Okay, here, you know, that's the gold standard for 4 strings, especially probably Fender Precision. If you had to have only one bass, that's probably what you should have. But anyway, I'm trying stuff out, I use a 4-string, and then because I know then once I plug a 12-string, it's going to add all that extra sound.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is it's a bass. So if it sounds good with a 4-string, I use the same. Okay, there you go. There's my rig. I don't even have to try it with a 12-string. Just plug it in and go.
That's cool. And it gives you, the 12-string gives you a fatter sound, a thicker sound. Is that what we're looking for when we play that?
It's really a sort of an orchestrated thing. It's not something you would play for speed if you, well, you don't play guitar, but if you play a 12-string guitar, yeah, they've got their own sound, but they're harder to play. So it's not something you would do some shredding on or something, which I don't do anyway, so it doesn't matter. But it just takes some strength, but you just build it up. Like I said, I just started using it cold. Here you go. I plug it in, let's go. And that was it. I didn't sound check it or anything. We didn't have sound checks, I think, with KISS. So we just go up there and go for it.
How many basses do you travel with when you're on tour? How many do you have?
Well, I use one through the whole show, maybe two.
Okay.
And so I've got a show one and a backup. That's it.
Okay. And then, and Rick has a little bit more.
Well, he switches guitars every song.
Right.
I switch basses every 10 years.
A couple of the high watermark Cheap Trick albums for me that are, of course, Cheap Trick 97.
How does it feel to be better? How does it feel to be on your own?
Who owns that album? Is that ever going to be released on vinyl? I mean, I know Red Ant went bankrupt after the release. Where are the masters for that thing?
Before the release. Before
the release.
Yeah. It was some other label before the, yeah. The original label went bankrupt and then it became Red Ant. So it was... And what's the question again? I don't think I know. I don't know that anyone knows the answer. Who owns that record?
Where are the masters? Who has those? Or is it just what it is? What it is?
That was the first record we had ever done that wasn't on a major label,
right?
And we thought, well, we're going to get back to whatever basics. It'll be the same. This record will have just like our first album. It'll just be called Cheap Trick. It doesn't really have a title.
Yeah.
We thought that'd be kind of cool. Like our first record, we're starting over sort of, with a boutique label or whatever, independent. Well, we released it and then our former label, Sony, Epic Sony, saw that we had released a record and has the same, it's really the same title as our very first album.
Yeah.
So they decided to re-release our first album after we released our new record. So when people went into the record store and wanted our new record, our first album came up and not our new album because it had a newer number,
Yeah.
So our first album outsold our newest record at that point. I thought, hey, that boy, good idea, guys. I wish you'd thought of that kind of shit when we were on the label. Fuck. Thanks for nothing.
And also I want to give a shout out to Rockford. That album is fantastic. I feel like that should be a record store day release on yellow vinyl. I have a lot of ideas, Tom, that I can't put into action.
Well, okay. I've authorized it. We're going to go ahead and do that then.
All right. Fantastic. All right, Tom, I don't want to keep you any longer. I want you to get some food. I want you to take a walk.
Well, yeah, I don't have to do a lot of walking. I'm right downtown. And I mean, I'm telling you, there's nothing open. It's so damn weird. It's fine. There's nothing open, but there's also no people. So I see why nothing's open.
Once
I'm
going to
be walking around in circles out there.
I want to let everyone know you go to cheaptrick.com, go to @cheaptrick on Instagram. Go to facebook.com/cheaptrick on Facebook. And again, cheaptrick.com. You're going to find out everything you want to know about the new album and about tour dates. And All Washed Up is out right now. If you're listening to this, it is out. And go get some colored vinyl.
This must be November 14th then, right?
Today's November 14th. You are right, Tom.
About that. Yes, it is out finally. So I can look and like, hey, all the songs are available.
And everyone stream it, but then after you stream it, then go buy it, you know? Give these guys your money.
That isn't out of the question. Forget it, you know?
Tom, before we go, I'm going to ask you to choose a playout song from the new album. This is the song from the new album. I know you're not good with the titles. And then I'm going to
I'm sort of good, but not
okay.
That good. I had to look up something. Somebody asked me yesterday. I'm going, what the hell song were they talking about? Like, oh, okay. Well, how about the first track, All Washed Up?
All right. The album's All Washed Up, and the playout song is All Washed Up. Tom, a pleasure to see you again. I hope to one day meet you again, and you're going to be just as kind as you were all the other times.
No, not now. Now we're complete assholes. We've changed.
Okay. Okay. And if when we meet, if you could just call me 431, that would be great.
I was planning on that.
All right.
Too bad
Thank you so
were a little earlier. You could have been 420.
Right. That would have been great.
What were you waiting for?
I don't know. I was a stupid kid. Take care, Tom. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Tom Peterson from Cheap Trick, and this is 101 FM Lansing.
There, you asshole.
Hey! Right in the, right in the end of it.
I'm sorry. Go.
I had that all right. Start over. Hello, this is Tom Peterson from Cheap Trick, and this is 101 FM Lansing, Michigan.
That's great.
Is that good?
And Tom Peterson plays the bass guitar and creates auras.